Oh my gosh, that was so beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh man, hard act to follow. All right, so today we're talking about lightening up and lightening it up, right? Lighten it up. When we think of light, there are many, many things we can think about light. We can think about it's the opposite of heavy, right? Sometimes when we're carrying burdens, worries, sorrows, grief, it feels heavy. And it's hard to, you know, figure out how to let that go, how to put that down. But we learn, as we grow spiritually, that what we need to do is surrender. What we need it to do is to hand it over to God. Because sometimes these things are too heavy for us to carry on our own. But in order to lighten up and lighten up, we can hand it over to God, the universe, spirit, Krishna, any name we want to call that energy that is in us and around us and through us, every single one of us at the same time. And then we can also think of light as the opposite of dark. And we know that light casts out the darkness, that light, when you can be in a very dark room, but the minute you turn on a flashlight, there's the light. It's not a dark room anymore. And the idea is, what we want to do is expand that light to fill the room. So just make your flashlight bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger till you can see everything. Light is something that happens through our eyes, but it's also happening through our third eye, through our inner eye. We can see the light even in the darkness when we use our inner eye. And then light is also levity, which comes with humor. Like Pam told these great jokes, so we all have a little laugh, and it's important to laugh. It's important to understand that life is meant to be joyful. It's not meant to be serious and heavy and dark. It's meant to be joyful and light. So we need to, so that if the goal of life is enlightenment, the goal is of life is in seeing the light, but it's also in being the light, allowing that inner light within us to shine forth and light up the world. And when we all do that, what a bright and beautiful and brilliant place this is. I just heard, Deepak Chopra was one of my very first teachers, and he's still around doing all kinds of stuff. He's a lot online now, and I saw a podcast that he did recently where someone asked him, what's the purpose of life? I've heard him say many things to this answer, but I've never heard him say it in this way. He said, the purpose of life is playfulness and creativity. And that's true, because when we're in play mode, we know that we're playing. We're playing a role. It's like we're on stage and we're acting. We're going through the motions, or we're in a game, but we know that in the game, it's about having fun. It's not about winning or losing. It's about having fun. It's being in the game that matters. It's not about what happens at the end of the game or what happens before the game. It's enjoying the time you have while you're in the game. And the Dalai Lama and the Pope, some of the most spiritual, grounded, enlightened people, I would say, in the entire world. These are examples to us of what it looks like to be enlightened. They're always smiling. They're always there's this sweetness about them, you know? I see that in Deepak too. He's always got this little smile, like he's got this secret and he just can't wait to tell you, you know? It's like, guess what? I know what it's like to be enlightened. It's playful. It's creative. You know, it's sharing this wonderful information with people that shouldn't be a secret. It's not that hard to just get in the game. Throw your hat in the ring. I'm in the game. I'm going to play. And here we go. So silly situations often remind us of this. And the other day, Greg and I were in the backyard and we're pulling weeds. We're doing all this stuff. It was just a windy day. It was right after the rain we had. And I realized that the patio furniture, the cushions and everything on the patio furniture hadn't been brought in. So I'm like, okay, I think it's time this time of year. Bring them in, put them in the closet, save them for next year. So I bring them in and I just kind of toss them on the living room floor. And then I go, wait, what's that? And I see this little scurry. I'm like, I didn't know what it was at first. And then I realized it was a lizard, like a baby lizard. Well, maybe about that big. That's still a baby. We get them pretty big in our yard. We have lots of lizards in our yard. And I welcome them because they eat the little bugs and stuff. And I just think they're so cute. So they don't run away when I'm there. I talk to them and they talk to me and they just mostly they sunbathe, you know, and it's really nice. They kind of make my day. But now I have one in my house and I was like, okay, what do I do about this? There's nothing I could do except laugh, you know? So Greg's like, what's going on? What's going on? I said, there's a lizard in the house. It's like, okay. So Greg is a very pitta thinker person. He goes into mode. Okay, get a box. Do this, do this, do this. I'm like, okay, okay. You know, I'm taking orders. We're going to get this lizard. And I'm just talking to the lizard really sweetly. Like, I'm just trying to keep you safe. I think you would have more fun outside. You know, but we managed very easily to get the lizard in the box and put him outside. But we were laughing through the whole thing, you know. And it's just, these are the moments you remember in life that bring us joy. The unexpected things. The things that you can't anticipate. And the things that you'll just, you know, remember as part of the house, part of the home, you know. What makes a house a home is these moments. I had in one of my houses, we heard something in the fireplace and I thought it was a bat and then I thought it was a rat and we didn't know what it was. And I was like trying to call the animal shelter. Like, what do I do with this animal? And they're like, I don't know. Figure it out. We don't do that kind of thing. I'm like, what am I going to do? And then we figured out it was a bird. So we just, we closed off as much as we could at a house and opened all the windows and doors and everything and got a towel and kind of like guided it out the window. But I don't know, somehow this bird fell through the chimney. But, you know, we still talk about that today. Remember when the bird was in the house? It's like great for the kids to remember. And these things also help us to learn that we can overcome these little obstacles, right? And it's easier to overcome the obstacles when you're doing it with a smile on your face, when you're doing it saying, there's a purpose to this, and I'm going to focus on this one thing right now. All those problem-solving skills that come into play. And as we change and grow and learn, we understand that we are moving closer to spirit. We're not moving further away from it. When we're happy and that love is in our heart, that joy is in our heart, that's the recognition of the God within us. And thanks things change, circumstances change, tragedy strikes, you know, all kinds of things happen in our life. But this connection with God is not just this direct linear thing. It's a cyclical thing, you know. We move towards and we move away, and we move towards and we move away. But eventually, it's like the spiral, and we get there. And we just have to keep on the ride, stay on the ride, and learn and grow all along the way. It's just like the seasons come and go. They're predictable. You know, we have winter, and it's cold, and it's dark, and it's, you know, it seems like it's desolate sometimes. There's no leaves on the tree. It's like, oh, gosh, what is going on with this? But then spring comes, right? And then summer comes, and then the leaves come, and the fruits come. But then fall comes, and the leaves turn. And it happens again and again and again in our lifetimes. How many times have we been through that? I mean, a lot. So we know it's predictable. The moon also has the phase, right? The monthly phase going from no moon. Where's the moon? We have nothing. There's no moon. Where's it? And then a little sliver of light comes, and that light grows and grows and grows and becomes the full moon when all the energy comes and all the light comes. But where is the light coming from? Is the light coming from the moon? The moon doesn't glow from within. The moon is reflecting the light of the sun. So we need to know that even when we feel dark and we don't see that sliver of light, we can reflect the light of the divine, because that is always there, and it's always within us. Life is not the opposite of death. Birth is the opposite of death. Life, birth, death, is cyclical also, just like this. So we have, just like we have the seasons, we have all these lives that we go through. And we're just going through one right now. All of us together chose this life, this time, right now, to be together, all of us. This is a divine appointment that we're all here together. No coincidences. Each one of you, it was all divinely planned, because we're here to help each other learn and grow. Thank you, God. It's miraculous. It's miraculous. And we're going to keep coming after the physical body drops away. The soul is going to keep coming into new bodies until we start learning the lessons. So it's better for us to learn the lessons, to go through these hard things, and come out the other side stronger and wiser. Instead of, oh man, poor me, all that. It doesn't do anybody any good. It's like something happens to us and we're like, thank you. Thank you for this experience. It's another opportunity to learn and grow and get closer to God. Every single experience, no matter what it is. Oscar Wilde and Albert Einstein both said, in different quotes, but basically the same thing. What is intelligence? Intelligence is an open mind. When we listen, when we're open to changing our mind, When we are receptive, that's when we're intelligent. So rather than making assumptions or just going, oh, this is bad. I broke my leg. This is a bad thing. We're judging that way. We don't know why God put that in our life. But if we trust and have faith and surrender and say, thank you, maybe, just maybe, we'll get it. We always have these opportunities for spiritual growth, but how do we measure where we are? How do we measure how far we've grown? This is a question I've always asked Deepak and stuff, and he's like, For everybody, it's different. But there's a psychologist named Carl Rogers, and he said to grow spiritually is when you don't have more to prove. When you have nothing to prove, then you have less to defend. So to me, that sounds a lot like knowing who you are. When you know who you are, you have less to prove, less to defend. I have nothing to prove at this point. Like, what more would I do to prove, right? What more do I have to prove? And if I have nothing more to prove, then why should I be defending myself? If someone says I'm a bad person, or someone says I did something wrong, or I did this, or they judge my character, I don't need to defend myself. And you guys, this is the same for everybody. I'm saying the I am, but I'm saying for each of you too. You know you're good people. Why bother defending yourself? Because you know that so much in your heart that it doesn't affect you. That you don't go home and go, oh, so-and-so said, blah, 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 blah. Like even people in power right now are saying that we're evil, or, you know, we're evil? Don't listen to that. No, that's not true. Robert Adler, another psychologist, said, to be human is to feel inferior. But to grow is to stop proving that you're not. To be human, we do feel flawed. We do feel less than. We can't help it because we're human. We're in a body. We compare ourselves with others all the time. But to grow is we get past that and we know who we really are. We don't have to prove that we're not inferior. So growth is basically when the ego shrinks, not when the ego grows. The ego shrinks and our light can shine forward more. The ego kind of like blocks our light. But when we let the ego take a back seat and let spirit drive, we're going in the right direction. Krishna says in the Gita, he who sees the Supreme Lord dwelling alike in all beings, the imperishable in things that perish, he sees indeed. For seeing the Lord as the same, everywhere present, he does not destroy the self by the self, and thus he goes to the highest goal. He does not destroy the self, big S self, the spirit, by the little S self, the ego. And when you're seeing, right, it's not just the human eyes, it's the third eye, which is seeing the truth. It's seeing the light in all people. Yesterday, Greg and I went to the No Kings rally again. There was another one in Thousand Oaks. We had the best time. It was so fun. And it got me to think that this is an uprising. But what kind of uprising is it? It is a spiritual uprising. Because it's a lot of people coming together, showing our unity, saying, this is not acceptable. We stand for good. We see the light in all people. We don't separate. We don't divide. We don't want division. We want the Constitution that all people, all men and women, are created equal. Because that is the truth. That is the truth that the founders of our country said is self-evident. That's something we don't need to prove. It's self-evident that we are all created equal. Why are we trying to prove it? Why are we showing passports and citizenship papers and all that. Come on. We are all created equal. It doesn't matter. Do we have to show our paycheck stubs? Do we have to show our birth certificate? Do we have to show, you know, I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. So I just think, you know, Rainn Wilson wrote this book called Soul Boom. And he talked about this movement where it's not just about religion. It's about humanity. And it's about people coming together. And this is happening right now. And I think this is a time when we are all open to letting the light in, to shining our light, to recognizing the light in everyone else, to bringing more light to this world, to this whole planet. People all over the world were doing this No Kings thing. It wasn't just the U.S. They agree with us. We just have to keep doing it until we make the change we want to see. And I have to say, it is so relevant and no coincidence that all of this No King stuff is happening during Diwali. Diwali is the festival of light. It's the celebration of light over darkness. Tomorrow's the main day, but it's like this five-day celebration. And so all of this is happening. When I was in Delhi in 2000, I was there over Diwali. And on November 4th, I remember because it was Freddie's birthday, and Freddie was there with me. And we were outside. We had a big dinner thing on this grassy area outside the hotel. And Indian dancers were there, and they had these big, like, earthen pots on their head, and they were dancing with the pots on their head, and fire was coming out of the pots.
Whoa.
I was like, this is so cool. And it was all about the light within, right? The light within. They were lighting up the sky with this, and they were dancing, and then they were, like, inviting us to come dance with them, and I was just like, high on life, and I'm like, I can't even believe I'm here. It was wonderful. It was one of those core memories that really just changed my life. And I think that, you know, all of us need to remember who we are and connect with the light within. And remember that we are growing at all times. And to follow that light, because the light is going to guide us in the right direction. So I said this prayer last time. I'm going to say it again because it's so appropriate. So dear God, dear universe, dear spirit, show me where I need to go. Tell me what I need to know. Give me the seeds I need to sow. Thank you for all you do, now and always. And thank you for your light, for your guidance. And so it is. Om Tat Sat. Amen.